It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Steve Ducey.
I'm Dana Perino.
I'm Tyrus. And this is the Fox News Rundown.
Tuesday, December 20th, 2022. I'm John Saucier. Illegal immigration has been a major story this year, and really ever since Joe Biden took office, with our southern border seeing people from all over the world showing up and trying to get in. But we may not have yet seen the worst of it.
In many cases, you know, you have gotaways, you have people that are just released on the streets because they can't physically keep everybody while they wait their asylum cases.
This is the Fox News Rundown, Evening Edition.
The Will Cain Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Cain as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Title 42 at least gave Border Patrol a region to tell migrants no when they showed up to the U.S. border with Mexico, but if and when that goes away, then where do we stand? Those who are in the know say we are in for some big problems.
Title 42 is a health law, you could call it, invoked by President Donald Trump in the early days of the COVID pandemic.
We're speaking today with Fox News correspondent David Spun, based out of Washington, D.C., and today reporting from the Department of Justice.
In March 2020, then President Trump invoked Title 42 to keep illegal immigrants from not only coming to but staying in the United States, citing the national pandemic emergency. Title 42 was supposed to expire multiple times. Last May, then last summer it got pushed. Supposed to expire tomorrow. Chief Justice John Roberts has put a temporary hold on that and is asking the Department of Justice to weigh in, and then he will make a decision, or the Supreme Court will make a decision, if Title 42 will officially be lifted, meaning we'll see a much greater influx of people coming on the border, or Title 42 will stay intact.
Where does the Biden White House stand on Title 42? Because this is something that was put in under the Trump administration, and it feels like the White House has kind of been on both sides of not only using it, but whether or not they support it.
Yeah, that's a very fair question, and it's one we've been asking. It's not clear where the White House is officially standing, because in the same sense, as you say, one day the White House seems to be in favor of Title 42, another day they seem to be against it. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, when pressed multiple times yesterday, essentially said that, you know, they are bound by a court order, meaning a district court order, to lift Title 42 and to abide by the ending of Title 42 on the 21st of December. However, as you mentioned, in the past, the White House has cited Title 42 to go ahead and say that it's something that's important. So it's not really clear. I hate to give you a foggy answer, but it's not really clear where the White House is standing on this, because we have heard different stories from the White House. But the latest rendition is the White House will abide by the court order that will sunset Title 42 on December 21st. But ultimately, John, it comes up to what the Department of Justice, where I join you from right now, what DOJ has to say in response to this lawsuit by almost 24 attorneys general of Republican states saying Title 42 must remain in place to keep people from coming across an overwhelmed border.
Okay, let's just assume Title 42 does expire. The courts aren't keeping a stay on it. You recently spoke to a retired immigration judge. What did that person have to say about the effects of lifting Title 42 and what that might mean for illegal immigration into this country?
I spoke to Judge Bruce Einhorn. He's in California. He was an immigration judge for 17 years. He said, no question, if Title 42 is lifted, they will see an influx at the border like they have never seen before, meaning Border Patrol, meaning the administration, meaning the American people. Speaking about his colleagues that are still immigration judges, he said, and I'm reading a line here, quote, they are overworked and they often suffer the strains of what I would even say post-traumatic stress syndrome. He also says, as far as the backlog, John, right now we know there are about 1.6, 1.7 million pending cases
already
that are before immigration courts. Correct, before Title 42 is lifted. That's I've seen numbers 1.5, 1.6, 1.7, depending on different sources. But the point is, it's over 1.5 million. And if Title 42 is lifted, Judge Einhorn told Fox News, quote, it could be 8 years, it could be 10 years if we don't think outside the box. Right now, the average delay to get a court hearing is roughly 6 years, depending on the jurisdiction. And another fact, not to throw out too many numbers, there is, say, let me look, there are, I'm just checking, I want to make sure I give you the accurate numbers here, there are about 600 immigration judges across the country, 600 immigration judges across the country to deal with more than 1.5 million pending cases before 42 expires. So put that into perspective.
So we already have a mess on our hands, and it could turn into a colossal mess here. And it's really not out of the realm of possibility, or it's not crazy to think that somebody could come into this country illegally, claim asylum, and then just hang out for 10 years while the case is pending. And then even after that 10 years, maybe get a case. Is this what we're talking about?
Absolutely. In many cases, you know, you have gotaways, you have people that are just released on the streets because they can't physically keep everybody while they wait their asylum cases. I mean, Judge Einhorn said there has to be a prioritization of these cases. He says asylum cases, I mean, this is his opinion. He says asylum cases should be first, criminal cases should be second, and all others that don't fit in the first two categories should come third. You know, the judge says right now he's speaking privately to active judges who still sit on immigration courts that say they are simply overwhelmed. They are working 12 hours a day in some jurisdictions. They are hearing case after case after case. Another judge that I spoke to, Judge Denise Slavin, a retired judge, I've been speaking to her for the past year and a half because we knew Title 42 would come to the end one day. She said that she's concerned that when Title 42, not if Title 42, when Title 42 expires or sunsets or goes away, whatever you want to call it, then judges will be forced to take those cases first and then put all of the other cases that they've had in the pipeline, the 1.5 plus million cases, whether their asylum or criminal cases or whatever they may be, just on the back burner. And those will never get heard. I mean, it may take 5 or 10 years in some cases for those individuals to be heard. And that is not the system of justice that Judge Einhorn says these people deserve that are, frankly, crossing the border.
More migrants than Border Patrol can handle and more asylum cases than immigration judges can fathom. Not the best equation for keeping our southern border secure. Fox News correspondent David Spunt is at the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C., and has some insight on what the future of illegal immigration might look like if and when Title 42 is allowed to expire. We'll have more for you coming up next. Dave, you made a comment that caught my ear about some of these migrants who come into the country and are just gotaways, or they're just let go because there's nowhere to put them. There are some states, Texas specifically, that has been filling up buses full of migrants and putting them in other places, say Chicago, Washington, where you are, and maybe most notably New York City. That's where I am right now. We got an interesting comment this week from the mayor of New York, Eric Adams. He believes that if Title 42 does expire, that New York City could receive upwards of 1,000 migrants per week, and that would put an even greater strain on the already strained system there. And the mayor said that he actually may have to start cutting some services that taxpayers are paying for to deal with this overwhelming influx of migrants. Do you see this happening not only in New York, but elsewhere? I mean, it's not just these northern cities, too. The southern border towns are being exposed to this also.
Yeah, I mean, clearly New York is one of the cities. Washington, D.C. is another city. Philadelphia is another city. We saw what happened with the airplane with Governor Ron DeSantis from Florida, that there were groups going to Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts. I suspect, yes, we will see more of that kind of behavior from Governor Abbott if we see more of an influx at the border, because clearly Texas can't handle it. Arizona can't handle it. California can't handle it. So people have to go somewhere. And in many cases, as I mentioned, these people are given physical appointments to come back, you know, in a few years and say, hey, listen, you know, your court date's going to be on XYZ, come back. Some do come back. I want to be fair. Some do come back. Some do go through the process and do follow the rules. Others don't.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, if you don't show up for the court date, then there's just a bench warrant out for you to show up to court. And as long as you keep your nose clean, I don't know, maybe you can get around with that. I mean, when you think about the number of people that's going through this system, 1.5 million, 1.7, this pre-Title 42, it is so overwhelming that how could any court system in the world keep up with something like this? And furthermore, how could any city in the world keep up with something like this? We mentioned New York, Philadelphia. These are big cities with big taxes where a lot of people pay a lot of money for these social services, and even those are being overwhelmed. So really, the strain goes way beyond just the border, way beyond the southern court system and the federal immigration court system as well. David, you're at the Department of Justice. Just want to get one quick question about another big story this week. The House Select Committee on January 6th, they wrapped up their final public hearing, and they did so with a bang by referring criminal charges against former President Donald Trump to the Department of Justice for his alleged role in the January 6th, 2021 riots. The big question here, what is the Department of Justice expected to do with this criminal referral?
Well, it's a good question. The Department of Justice doesn't have to do anything. The Department of Justice many times wants to operate completely independently from any political forces, and sometimes does not take kindly to politicians, frankly, suggesting what should be done at the Department of Justice. That being said, there is a criminal investigation already underway at the Department of Justice. Merrick Garland, the attorney general, months ago appointed a man named Jack Smith to be the special counsel who is investigating former President Trump for the documents taken to Mar-a-Lago from the White House and also the former president's actions in and around January 6th. So while the congressional committee has offered a referral or given a referral to the Department of Justice, the Department of Justice really doesn't have to do anything with that. They may take some of the information and incorporate it into Special Counsel Jack Smith's investigation. But right now, DOJ as an entity called DOJ, meaning the Attorney General, all trying to stay clean and stay out of the fray when it deals with anything involving former President Trump, because all of this was passed off to Special Counsel Jack Smith about a month ago. You know, Congress cannot bring criminal charges in a court of law. The Department of Justice can. The Department of Justice, through Special Counsel Jack Smith, is investigating whether or not to bring those charges against the former president.
How often are charges brought by the Department of Justice after Congress refers them?
I don't have it off the top of my head, but it's happened before. It happened with Steve Bannon. It happened with Peter Navarro, to name a few, for contempt of Congress. Those were criminal referrals for not complying with subpoenas to appear before the January 6th committee. Criminal referrals were sent over to the Department of Justice, and both were eventually charged, and those cases made their way through the legal system and are making their way through the legal system, but it's not very typical.
All right, there you go. You heard it from the man himself, David Spunz, Fox News correspondent, who's there at the Department of Justice, and there's a lot going on, as usual, David. Thanks for your time and your insight. We appreciate it. And thanks for being with us on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition podcast.
Thank you, John.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.